Good morning. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us by calling 434-1790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Graham Vaughan, our technical operator and producer, and Kevin Hines should be shortly, if he's not already there, taking care of your telephone calls. I'm Dennis Johnson, I'll be your host, and we go until 1 o'clock. Well, we've had the official opening of Parliament and a very ambitious program outlined by Her Excellency on behalf of the new government as to what they intend to do in this session, and in fact going on, I think, for beyond the 5 years of this Parliament. So it's a far-reaching set of proposals. Should we get through at least half of them by the end of the first five years, I would say that the government has done quite well. I also noted that one of the first questions I had listed for today was answered, which is when would we be going back to Parliament to readjust the estimates to make allowances for the current state of play and the new configuration of the government. And yesterday I was told that it will be on Monday. I do not know what time Parliament will be sitting on Monday, but I'm sure whenever that is, Voice of Barbados, as is customary, will be bringing that very important part of our new government live. I notice it's being called a mini-budget. I'm sure there'll be another one at the end of the consultations with the International Monetary Fund, because in keeping with the keeping the public informed, I am sure the government will be on its P's and Q's to ensure that the public is given all the information as it happens. I have always been very firm in the belief that our people either need to educate themselves or to be educated on the operations of government, because with the, someone tells me it's 11 o'clock. Thank you very much for informing me. It's Monday at 11. I am sure we will make the necessary adjustments to this program to facilitate that, because I think it's an important national event. I'm saying this without having consulted anybody, yeah? So the station management may take a different line. That's just my feeling, speaking as Dennis Johnson usually does. The questions that have arisen, certainly online, some of the messages I've seen sent to this program with the crossing of the floor of Bishop Athley shows me that we need to be better informed as a public as to how Parliament operates, because people are talking about when is the by-election and will the Prime Minister call the by-election. Prime Ministers don't call by-elections as far as I'm aware. We don't have a crossing of the floor act, so the bishop is still the representative of his constituency. We also do not have a recall, so that can't happen either. So when people talk about in the United States, the IRS does this, and we're not the United States, we're Barbados. And that was one of the reasons why I said civics should be taught in school. But as citizens, we need to arm ourselves with the information. I saw lots of questions coming up over the election period as well about if Barbados is the only place where Commonwealth citizens are allowed to vote. That's not true either. So it means there are aspects of our government and our governance that we do not know about. And therefore, it leads us to make sometimes erroneous assumptions, which could cause some incorrect things to be said. Anyhow. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay, and you?
Not too bad. Mm-hmm. A couple of things there. Mr. Johnson, the DLP came and found when they took the office was around $9.9 billion. Am I right?
I don't know, sir. You tell me.
Oh, no, I am asking you.
I don't know what the debt was.
Oh, what is the total debt, though?
Sir, I have no idea what the total debt is either.
Okay. Because I was trying to get an understanding. If you know the total debt, then we can assume that we could calculate or we could subtract what the DLP pound.
That's not how it works, sir.
I know that, but that's a
So why you want to do that?
There are guidelines.
No, it's not. Robbie? It can't be a guideline, sir.
Listen, if I left a debt of $9 million, are you kidding me? Are you allowed to that debt? And the debt was $17 million. It means that you would have additionally allowed $8 billion.
That is not what it means, sir. And that's why I tell you can't do that.
Oh, dear. You're not in mathematics.
Sir, you cannot do that. And I'm trying to tell you why you cannot do that. And the reason why I stayed away from answering your question about the debt is this. There are two components to the national debt, sir. One is your domestic debt, and one is your foreign debt. So there are two components, and while they may be called debt, they cannot be treated in the same manner. And here's the reason why.
Hold on. Yes,
okay, let me tell you why. Because one has to be paid for in foreign currency, and one can be paid for in local currency.
Agreed.
Good.
But let's
there is also something called the facilitation by the central bank for government, by the issuing of government paper. That, too, is considered a debt.
Okay. Good. Let's look at the foreign debt. And when I talk about debt, I always refer to the foreign debt.
Then be specific.
Right. What is the amount of money owned on the foreign debt? That's what I'm concerned about. Do you have any idea?
No, sir.
Do you have any idea how much money was debt was foreign debt was left by the Onyafa administration?
No, sir.
Oh. So we know that, then we will have an idea of what is the debt left by the Democratic Party. Probably we'll talk about the foreign debt, the one that you have to pay in U.S. currency. That is one I'm most interested in.
Would you like me to try again to answer you and tell you why that is not so, sir? Here is the reason why that is not so. If when the Arthur administration went out of office, it left, as you said, $9 billion in debt. If the government, the incoming Democratic Labour Party government, did not pay that sum of that $9 billion, then the figure would remain $9 billion. If they paid some of it, then it would not be $9 billion.
We know that, but we are using... We have to get a guideline to understand.
It cannot be used as a guideline, I said before. But you keep going back on it over and over. And let me tell you why it cannot be used as... Now they tell me I'm rude to you. Oh, Jesus. Why you people don't separate my way of speaking from your annoyance with the fact that I'm not supporting your party? I'm having a discussion with the gentleman. What is my rudeness? The way I speak? The sound of my voice? My accent? You guys need to get a grip. Sir, if you have a situation where in order to pay back the $9 billion in foreign debt, you had to incur $20 billion to pay off the $9 and then you have $11, you see why the subtraction would not make sense?
Let me bring it to another way to you. Let me see if you can understand this.
Sir, I understand what you're saying. I just tell you I don't agree with your principle.
Are you sure?
I do.
If I had, let's say for example, we had owed $4 billion in foreign debt. I pay off $2 billion of that. It means that I would have left $2 billion in arrears. You with me so far?
I'm with you.
But the other party came in now, and they bore, let's say, $6 billion in foreign debt. Mm-hmm. So right now we will have $8 billion plus the interest rates. You with me so far? But that's just a guideline, and in everything in life, you have to have guidelines. Let's look at this mini manifesto that is being brought in the House on Monday to debate. One of the things that she said, that the Prime Minister said, that these UE students are going to, from this semester term, will not have to pay tuition fees. The first thing, James Johnson, do you ask the Prime Minister at what cost? How are you there, sir?
So this is my job. I can't go anywhere between now and 1 o'clock.
I'm asking you a question. Did you answer at what cost to the taxpayers?
So I don't speak to the Prime Minister. How would I ask her?
Mm-hmm. Have you not asked yourself that question?
No.
Or you want
because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it presented to Parliament as what's going to happen yet.
You know, there's some people in life that when people tell them jump, they jump, even if they jump off a cliff.
Not me. I don't.
Oh, I'm very glad that you said that. But I tell the people who say that me are curious. We good, study good.
Sir, why don't you make the comments instead of trying to throw it at me and make it seem as though I say it? You see, I have an issue with people who are not trying to be factual and honest. Because I have an issue when I try to stick to issues and people try to make it personal. So when people start calling me by both names and people start sending me messages, I take objection to it. Sir, I will say to you again, when the budget, the mini budget, whatever it is presented, the adjustments to the estimates, whatever is presented on Monday, when the questions arise as to how it will be financed, those questions will be asked. And if I have issues with it, trust me, I will ask it. Right. Regardless of who sits in the office, because I am not interested in personalities.
Fair enough. But you know, there are some economists and barbers who questioned these proposals.
That's their business. That's what they do for a living.
Of course. So therefore, there are two sides to the story.
No, they're not.
Oh, no?
No.
You tell me the one side of the story that you like to hear about, eh?
I don't like stories at all, sir, and that's the problem why I have issues with people who want to make stories of a life. Sir, listen to me again for the final time, and I hope you understand what I am trying to say. Until proposals are presented and a way to finance them is laid out, whether you agree or you disagree, we'll have to wait until that is spelled out. If there is a proposal to, for example, introduce, as was happened in the past, a tax on X or a tax on Y, and you have a problem with that, then you raise the issue. One of the things I said very early, sitting here, but apparently you weren't listening that day, was that the Prime Minister has about four or five economists or people trained in economic matters sitting in government or in parliament or in the Senate. And I asked whether they would all give the same advice or whether they would give different advice. And the question is how you determine which is the best advice given. But I said so from day one.
Okay. Let me tell you, Mr. Johnson, the same four or five economists, there are economists in the world who have to tear this world upside down. Those are the ones who master the economy, and then you have some that who come and fix it back. Which side are these on? The ones to master up and fix it back. And that is the problem everybody knows it's asking about this. And as simple as that. Are they going to master up and fix it? What do you think?
I never think so. Apparently my mind don't work when I'm talking to you. My brain goes on idle. Brastax, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
This is Caroline Canterbury, outpatient at the psychiatric hospital. I just want to say that God had a hand in this election. Not one of them on the other side was spared. I thank you, sir.
Okay,
sir. A new leader, the Honorable Mayor, may she stick to her promises and may she do what she said. It would take some time, but may God bless her, guide her, and keep her. Give her strength to endure, and especially those DLPH that calling you and trying to answer a lot of foolish questions. Cut them off early. Don't have
sir,
to
I do not, sir, I do not. No, sir, that's not. No, sir. No, sir. My job is not to cut off people. My job is to have a conversation with people who call. The problem I have is people who hide behind party colors and snipe at me and try to cut me down because I am not saying what they want me to say. And when you read a series of comments from people who claim to be unbiased and fair, and all the comments go in one line, I believe what I believe. And I will continue to believe what I believe. I will not wear party colors. Never. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I was informed this morning when I came to work by Kevin Hines that we had lost one of the members of the Calypso fraternity. I'm told we have someone from the National Cultural Foundation on the line. Good morning to you. Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Dennis?
Hi. Good morning.
I'm not sure if you're speaking to me, Dennis.
Well, I'm speaking to you now. I was told there was someone else there at the line, but I'm sorry.
Right, I know I'm not from
Somebody told me that there was someone from the NFL.
No,
you can go ahead.
Okay. Dennis, this morning I want to call because I've been hearing some strange comments being made by David Ellis in particular about persons hiding and not calling, and I wish David Ellis would not do that. But I just want to I don't intend to be doing too much calling on the call-in programs. I'll call only when I feel the need to do so, and it wouldn't be as regular as before, but I'm not saying I will be stopping. Winnie, your caller, the day after the election, said something which is so... I want to support it. She might have said it for different reasons. She said that out of all the moderators, Dennis Johnson was the only one who you could not tell whether he was B, D, UPP, or whatever. I prefer to put it this way. Dennis Johnson was the only moderator who never imposed his view, never seemed to project a particular bias. I would pick up certain things that you would say, but never projected a certain bias. And for that, I am grateful. This morning, I want to speak about media bias and the role and the influence it had on the last election. Let me say that Ms. Motley won a hearty victory, 30-0. I went to sleep the night, so for those who felt somehow I was going to be perturbed by anything, I went to sleep, slept soundly till the next morning. I got calls coming telling me what had happened. The only thing about that result that I looked at was those boxes, all those boxes coming back with none registering a win except two in St. John. I find it would be interesting to have a closer look at certain things in there. 30-0 does not... Sorry, Dennis.
Like what?
What you're asking me?
What would you look at closely?
Just look at those particular boxes and examine them. Probably they can do...
Which one? The ones that came back not winning or the ones
winning,
the two that came back
do,
winning?
Yeah, two. That's what I said. Two from St. John. One. Two boxes from St. John. That, to me, was the only thing that I found curious. The 30-0 does not bother me. As a matter of fact, I felt it is a good thing that they lost all their seats. They will get a chance to regroup, look carefully at things they might need to change, and more particularly, it will give Ms. Motley the opportunity she has. She has free rein to deal with whatever she has to do with no hindrance. That 30-0 can be onerous. Having no opposition can be an onerous thing.
No, there's a one-person opposition, though. But the question I wanted to get back to is, how would you examine the boxes and what are you looking for?
I would ask those persons who were candidates to look at boxes that they think they might have questions about, and they can go back.
Yeah,
and
but
look
what kind of questions would they have? Whether people voted for them or not? Look at each ballot to see if the X's were in the right place.
Just verify numbers, etc., against what was checked off on the with their polling agent on election day. Just do checks to see exactly what was going on. Because I found, to me, the 30-0, although it was unusual, didn't jar me as much as not winning in boxes, especially in areas. I mean, I could understand winning even two boxes and three here, but all the candidates not winning, and
there's a reason why I'm getting at this, and the reason is this: the Elections and Boundaries Commission, they are the agents responsible for the conduct of elections in Barbados. We have said repeatedly that Barbados has had fair elections for the longest while. We have not had international observers. Every party had observers in place to ensure that votes were cast without people being intimidated in any way. Now, if you have a procedure for removing boxes, getting them to the counting station, and it was done that way, if you have scrutineers sitting there, I mean, I've been in counting stations and I see what happens. You hold up a ballot, you look at it, the scrutineer looks at it, if they want to look at it, then you call the figure. If you have all that in place and all that was followed, because the process went on till almost 5 o'clock next morning, what are they looking for? What is we trying to find?
Dennis,
yes,
that
ma'am.
Is not my substantive point. I've heard you.
I understand that, but I want to know
why you're... The only reason I'm saying that is because then when I want to make the substantive point that I've pondered over a while, mm-hmm. and take my time, I didn't want it, in, you know, I wanted to allow the freedom, the euphoria and all that to go on. I didn't want to come and say what I have to say, and I was thinking of, then people will think I've been on long, but I heard the question you're raising. I just said to you that was the only odd thing for me. I'm not saying candidates said it. I said that was the
I understand that.
For
okay.
Me.
Okay.
So they would have to know if they care to do it. That was odd for me, not the 30-0. Mm-hmm. But Dennis, as I said, for me, as I mentioned to you, and I'm going to talk about media bias, but I also just want to say about this, the duty of the media now when there is no opposition. And I know you pointed out that Mr. Athaly has crossed the floor. I don't see that as a genuine opposition, because it isn't that when people voted him in, they voted him in as a member of the winning side. And he's accepted, and he said he's sticking to all the policies of the present government. So I don't understand what his role is going to be like. I leave that for social scientists, political scientists, commentators to speak to. But to me, that is kind of hazy in my mind. I look at the whole question of the changing of the Constitution, because you need a two-thirds majority in most cases to change certain clauses within the Constitution. I am looking at this change of the Constitution in such a quick fashion to accommodate two senators. I am troubled by that, because if you are saying to me that a person's, the 12-month residential clause that you have to live in the country for 12 consecutive months is not enough for persons who want to serve in high office, I am very, very, very concerned about this ability now to be able, because of your large majority, to change the Constitution at a whim. And I felt that those persons could have completed the time, or you could have had alternative arrangements put in place. And then when they have stayed here for a number of the requisite period, they can come in, or you put somebody else, because I don't know what special skills both of them are bringing to the Senate that is absolutely necessary.
Well, one of the things that I saw, I think I read in the paper sometime, either today or yesterday, is the fact that two temporary senators would be appointed until such time as the other two are able to sit in the Senate. And
but why amend the Constitution then, Dennis?
Well, hold on, which is why I'm getting to that.
Okay.
If the belief is that that portion of the Constitution is no longer in vogue with what's happening, it is possible to, while amending the Constitution for any future appointments, you give the temporary senators enough time so that those who were appointed actually have the 12-month residency done. You see, one of the challenges I think the administration will face, and perhaps it goes back to your comment about the press and what we do in situations, what we should do in all situations, not only situations like these, is this. If you have a potential conflict, there are one or two ways to handle it. One way to handle it is to allow the person to become eligible on the existing laws, uh-huh, and then change it post facto. Or, which I would prefer, is if you have to amend the entire Constitution, if you think Barbados requires a new Constitution, then you go through the process of, as has been suggested, consultation, past consultations, mm-hmm, any updates, and we change the Constitution. Because I have some issues with several things that we currently have, including the fact that we swear in allegiance to Her Majesty the Queen and not to Barbados. That's one of the problems I have, starting with the oath. So if you're going to change, let's go for a change.
Dennis, I tend to agree with you. I believe this thing about the Constitution, it was not, the clauses within the Constitution, they weren't put there willy-nilly, after much thought, deliberation, consultation.
But times have changed.
Times
have changed.
I understand that, and I'm sure there are aspects, because I remember there was a particular committee headed by, I think, Sir Henry Ford,
that's correct,
mistaken,
mm-hmm,
that looked at the Constitution and certain amendments were proposed. Mm-hmm. But all I am saying to you is the rush to change the amendment for two senators when it is not even clear what the obvious benefit would be to having those persons.
Ma'am, can you tell me any obvious benefit to any of the senators we have in the in the upper house right now?
The obvious benefit?
Yeah.
Well, the framers of the Constitution who said there would be a lower house and an upper house will give the explanation for that.
No, by asking you because you said there's no obvious benefit. Okay, I could sit here and say I see no obvious benefit to the two opposition senators. I could say I see no obvious benefit to the seven independent senators. I could sit and say I see no obvious benefit to 10 of the 12 government senators, but that don't mean that they shouldn't be appointed.
No, but that don't mean you change the Constitution. The Constitution, not a normal piece of law. The Constitution change. But anyway, I am concerned about that, and I reiterate that is why the media is. It is important for them to be vigilant. Now, for me, what happened? I felt, Dennis, that the media was extremely biased. This is this caller's view. Mm-hmm. I felt that brass tacks and what took place here. Post 2013 election, and especially 2 years before, it was constant. And while I understand persons saying, you know, because for example, I heard somebody, an expat living here, I'm very intelligent, wonderful person. The government was doing a lot of bad things, and I said to them, okay, well, fine, but what are the bad things you're upset about? And they could not identify anything, because for me, what I felt was persons kept hearing day after day after day, sewage, potholes, the incompetent, and it went on and on and on in the media. When you had it on the call-in programs, you being accepted, then you saw it at the Nation newspaper. Now, I look now, and I said I will give them some time to see how they will react. Now there's a new government in. You have now the new government in with a very large cabinet, the largest in history. And then we started to hear persons say, well, they have very competent and skilled persons there, and they need these people to help them with the task that is ahead, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, wait a minute. These are the same people who were complaining that the old ministers under the last administration, the DLP administration, shouldn't take back the 10%.
But one is not on the same as the other, Malcolm. I know. I can get accused of talking and keeping you on the phone because I'm in love with you. I can deal with that.
Hold on a second.
Because I can't let you slide certain things under my feet without standing firm. Here is the thing. There are 13 radio stations, television stations in Barbados. There are two paper newspapers and online newspapers. You trying to tell me that one call-in program between the hours of 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock has so much influence that we blocked out 12 other radio stations and a television station? That our bias was so strong that it wiped out all the others? Others were biased too? Hold on, that's one. Two, the second thing is this.
Sure.
Should we then be biased? No, in the opposite direction. There was sewage in the streets in Barbados, something unheard of that I have been around since 1962. Bajans are very proud people. I can't use the other S word, but having sewage in the street is not something Bajans want to hear, including those who live overseas.
It wasn't only sewage, so you've used one example. I am saying that there were constant negative stories being carried and repeated and repeated and repeated to the extent that people started to absorb. Because what I don't
from one radio station, so the pine is absolutely no use at all.
This is my view. I saw the influence of VOB and the call-in program and the Nation newspaper.
I hope we use this as an ad.
Government station. But what I'm saying to you, Dennis, is when you looked at that, and you, the criticism, if they want to make it, fine. But there was never any balance brought. Then I'm looking at what is happening now this government is coming in. Nothing, no question about this bloated cabinet. And then I see on the newspaper, it is only going to cost 1 million more. This is Monday, June 4th, Nation newspaper. It's going to cost 1 million more a year to have this big cabinet that they're putting in there. And I thought to myself, surely some research went in here. The person multiplied 25 ministers' salary, two parliamentary secretary salary, and then they give a discount, a 10% off. I don't know if it's what they said they intend to give back.
I have to do this because it is not fair. and I like being fair. You've just made another allegation, slid it in under my legs again, and my legs real shaky because I got crooked feet, I got to stand firm, that we don't know if they sending the 10% to charity or not. We don't know that the last government gave away the 10% and then took it back either. You had proof that they did it. You saw their paychecks from day to day. These allegations can't just slide past me like that. I have to put my foot down and ask a question or two. I'm joined by the station manager and the
gentleman. He was going to join you. I know he was going to join you, but let me finish my point before Dennis.